All right.
Marcus, come here real quick, son.
Hurry.
Go do that to
Papa. All right. Yeah, I'm so focused on tonight preaching, I forgot to give my tithe. It's not good. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. I want to turn to there. I read this to my Sunday school class a little bit ago. It's called The Funeral. Time is like a river. You cannot touch the water twice because the flow that has passed will never pass again. Enjoy every moment of life. As a bagpiper, writer writes, I play many gigs. Recently, I was asked by a funeral director to play at a graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family or friends, so the service was to be at a pauper cemetery in the Nova Scotia backcountry. So I was not familiar with the backwoods. I got lost, and being a typical man, I did not stop for directions. So as I finally arrived an hour late and saw the funeral guy had evidently gone, and the hearse was nowhere in sight. There were only diggers and a crew left, and they were eating lunch. I felt badly and apologized to the men for being late. I went to the side of the grave, looked down at the vault lid, and it was already in place. I did not know what else to do, so I started to play. The workers put down their lunches and began to gather around. I played out my heart and soul for this man with no family and friends. I played like I've never played before for this homeless man. And as I played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept and wept. We all wept together. When I finished, I packed up my bagpipes and started for my car. Though my head was hung low and my heart was full. As I opened the door to my car, I heard one of the workers say, I've never seen anything like that before, and I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years. Ezekiel 22. It's all the laughing we'll do tonight. Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 23 through 30. Thank you for being here. It does my heart good to see people here. I know our pastor is away, and the temptation is when the mice is away, or when the cat's away, the mice will play. And thank you for being here and being faithful, not to a man, not to a church, but faithful to God. And that's what matters. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23. And we'll read down to verse 31. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor railed upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar and seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord God hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Here as we read this passage of Scripture, we see the situation is very bleak. The people that are in authority, that are supposed to be the ones that are doing right, are doing wrong. You have prophets that are saying different things and they're speaking lies. They're seeing vanity. They say this is what the Lord God has said, and I didn't say anything about that. You see the priests, they have violated the law. Now, in the Old Testament, the priests were the Levites. Right? Okay? Who are the priests in the New Testament? Anybody? It's the Christians. We are the priesthood of the believers. It's what we're called. In a sense, the priest was the only person that could go to God on behalf of the people to repent for the sins, to offer up the sacrifice. After Jesus died on the cross, the veil was ripped and from top to bottom, signifying that anybody could come to Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. I don't want somebody else knowing my sins. They're mine. I'm not proud of them. When I repent them to God, I don't want anybody to know. It's personal. We're the priesthood of the believers. So you look at it as the priesthood of the believers are, in a sense, if this was in today's society, which it does happen now, in a sense, the Christians have violated my law. We have profaned the unholy things. There's no difference between the holy and the profane. There's no holiness anymore. The situation's pretty bleak. When Christians don't even act like Christians, we don't dress like Christians, we don't walk like Christians, we don't talk like Christians. Instead, we mirror the world and we blend in and we do the things that they want to. Because it's so attracted to us and we have blended their culture with what we think the Bible says, which it's contrary one to the other. But we have, in our warped mind, we've mixed the two together. There's no difference anymore. There's no difference between the unclean and the clean. They've hid their eyes from my Sabbath. And I am profaned among them. It's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. That those that stand and say, I am a representative of Christ, and they're profaning His name. We don't care anymore if God's name is taken in vain. It used to be it was never said. Now you can see it on commercials. Now you can hear it if people are going through the halls and somebody does something and it's just a reactionary and it could just slip out the mouth because they're so used to it. The situation's pretty bleak. When I was reading this passage of Scripture this afternoon, I couldn't help but think of how this mirrors our society today. Now it's just our politicians are jokes. I mean, I was talking with one of my coworkers and I said, if you were to take the candidates even for the presidency now versus 20 years ago, what a huge difference.
in both parties. Huge difference. How they carry themselves, their talk, their demeanor. And that's in the presidency. You look in all the other offices and everything else, and politicians from state level, city level, all the way up. And there's a lot of people that have no faith in the system anymore. It's because they're corrupt. They're just lining their pockets with more and more money. You continue reading down, and it talks about the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And you think of our society today, and you think of places like Ferguson and places like Baltimore where they've been rioting. And they just go crazy. Police can't even do anything about it. It's sad when you have a rally for somebody that is speaking that's a presidential candidate and people are assaulted and are pretty much beaten up and the flag is burned and everything else right in the presence there, and they've got to arrest people. In Dallas, our police are being targeted and blindsided. And it's going throughout our entire country. It's pretty bleak. So what was the answer? He said, all right, here's the situation. And he painted it out. And it's not good. You look at our society today, you look at where we're at, and it's not good. And I'll be honest with you, I am a proud to be an American. There's no other place I'd rather be than America. I'm proud that I live in Montana. I love Montana. I know some people may look at me and think, boy, really? Montana? Okay. I love Great Falls. Now, there are things that I wish I could change about it. But I love Great Falls. And regardless of how you feel about our city or our state or even our country, this is where God has placed you. We have a work to do. Because in Great Falls, even though it may seem and appear as it's a wonderful place, the situation is pretty bleak. There's drugs. Alcoholism is just a mess. I mean, you read the paper and you'll see people with fourth and fifth DUIs. People are killed. We're one of the worst states as far as in Montana for fatalities on the highway, and most of them involve alcohol. It's pretty bleak. As I said this morning, we have 50 people in here this morning. It's 64,000 people in Great Falls, not including Malmstrom Air Force Base. That's not very high of a percentage from people that live here and attend faithfully. Situation's bleak. So what was the answer? He said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Now, I've heard this message preached, from this passage of Scripture for a lot of different things. The most common one is that it's preached at something like a youth conference or something like that, and they'll use this passage of Scripture and say, I sought for a man to make up the hedge to stand in the gap. Will you stand in the gap and surrender your life to preach? That's good preaching. And people surrender their life to preach, to stand in the gap. But as I started to think about this, I started to think about the gap. Tucker, if you come up here real quick, I'm going to ask a couple questions. This is military personnel. Right tactics? Of course you do. Okay? So I'm going to ask a couple questions, okay? All right. So if you're in the military, and let's say you're being attacked, Right. You're in combat, right?
Right.
Okay. How many people are in charge?
One. All of them. Depends.
How many are given orders?
One.
One. Right? If there's more than one, if you've got a group together, right?
Confusion.
Happen much?
A lot.
What happens if there's confusion? Yeah. In combat?
People die.
It's simple, right? So the solution to it is what?
One leader,
right? Okay? So if you're in combat, you have one leader. He's in charge. He is directing people of where he sees the attack is coming, right? If there's a flank that's coming, he adjusts, right? If there's a gap,
you fill it.
Now, let's say, what type of a rank is this person going to be? A colonel?
Higher.
Okay, it's higher ranking. He sees the gap. Does he fill it?
No. If he has to.
If he has to, he'll fill it. Because he knows, as the leader, if it's not filled, what happens?
They die.
So he understands the severity of the situation, being in control and watching as this army is advancing on their situation, on their place, and he says, okay, I need to adjust accordingly. I see a gap. I'm going to get outflanked. I need somebody to fill the gap. If nobody else goes,
I go.
Our pastor, the leader of our church, if he sees a gap and nobody else does it, what's he going to do?
He'll fill it.
He will do it. He will work himself to death to get it done. Because he understands the severity of the situation. But instead, if everything is working correctly, okay, let's say up of the ranking officer sees a gap, what's he do?
Fills it.
Okay, he fills it. By himself?
With anyone he can.
With anyone he can. So he takes a group of people and says, go fill it. In a dream world,
they fill it.
That's it. Thank you, sir. In a perfect situation, if the troops are obedient, if the troops are doing what they're supposed to do, they are the gap fillers. He directs. He coordinates. He says, I need you to go here. I need you to go here. I can see this coming. I need to plan accordingly. And if nobody else will do it, I'll do it. But his responsibility is to direct. It is on the people of Heritage Baptist Church to stand in the gap. It is on us. He'll do it. He's told me, if I don't have a bus driver, he's driven the bus before on a Sunday morning. It's a little harder now that Mrs. Shear is in her situation. But he'll drive. He's done it at Vacation Bible School before where we haven't had a driver. And he'll drive until somebody can come and relieve him of it.
He'll do it.
As the leader, the responsibility is to get the task done. However it needs to be done, it's got to get done. And if it's on him, and nobody else will do it, he'll step up. But if he does, that's not a reflection on his leadership. It is a reflection on the lack of the heart of the people to stand in the gap. It's on us. If our church fails, it is not because of our pastor. Anybody that has been around him knows he is one of the hardest working men that I know of. Well, Renee and I have talked about it, how she said, boy, he's going to work himself to death. Is that true? Why? He sees gaps. Why is there a gap? Well, it's simple. There's a gap because people that once stood in the gap are no longer there. Now, it could be that some have passed away. Could be that some have moved.